episode of the West Ham Way USA podcast. I'm one of your co-hosts, Brawley Darbin, in St. Louis, Missouri. On the other side, we have Tony Clark in Philly this week, I believe. What's going on, Tony?
Yeah, buddy, I am back in Philly, back in my house, finally laying on my couch after watching that extremely frustrating game that we got a lot to talk about in a short amount of time. But so we'll skip the pleasantries and just wanted to say glad to be back doing a pod with you, buddy.
Yeah, for sure. I think in the space of time that we last recorded, West Ham have played two games and lost both of them. And then in that time, also the European Super League has rose from nowhere and died an incredible death. And funny enough, that's not going to be the topic that we discuss on the show at all. We are, as you said, we are recording immediately, and I mean 5 minutes after the final whistle blew against Chelsea, the 1-0 defeat to Chelsea, we decided to record an instant match reaction, and mainly because I wanted to get everything that was on my mind off of my mind and down in history, because I tell you what, man, I would never abandon West Ham unless they did something like join the European Super League, but these VAR decisions... And people, this is going to be the majority of what we talk about in the show probably is VAR. So if you don't want to hear about VAR, I would just hit the delete button and delete this episode from your podcast, wherever you get your podcast from. But I'm falling out of love with watching the Premier League now. With there being no fans in the building, I have lost interest in watching any other games that didn't involve West Ham. Before, I would, if the Premier League was on, I would watch it. Right now, I could give a shit. Like, without fans in the stadium, I think these games lost a lot of luster. But fuck me, VAR does a great job of one-upping that. I mean, we saw decisions today. We saw two decisions today. In the two games that have been played today, we saw two criminal decisions. And it is absolutely ludicrous. It is asinine. It is ridiculous. It needs to end. VAR, referees, PGMOL, whoever comes up with the laws of the game, we have got to do something about this, because this is insane. Absolutely insane. For those, maybe you didn't see the game. I don't know how you would have missed it, but maybe you didn't see it. Fabian Balbuena of West Ham got caught in, what, the 70th something minute? I don't know what exact time it was.
81st, I think.
81st minute of the game. 1-0 game. West Ham trying and actually playing very well. And this is taking away from the fact that we just witnessed a very good game. West Ham played really well, really well. And here we are talking about VAR again. But Fabian Balbuena sent off, red card, for clearing a ball, for doing a center back's job, and did it well. Cleared the ball away from danger. Did a really good job. Put his laces through it, as you're taught as a kid. And he receives a red card because on the follow-through, he catches his studs in the back of Ben Chilwell's calf. I mean, what is going on, Tony? Tell me, what's going on?
I think it's absolutely ridiculous. And you and I got a little snippy in the group chat earlier because you was pissing me off. But the thing about it is, this will be the second or third time this season. This will be the second time that I can think of off the top of my head that we've had it. We will have this rescinded. I guarantee you. I will put my new house on.
Doesn't fucking matter.
That it.
What does
be
that
rescinded.
Matter?
No, I'm agreeing with you. You were just being pissy about it. It was pissing and making me annoyed. But there's
being pissy. We got a lot to be pissy about. What the fuck is going on?
We ruined. We were playing well. Still, probably would have lost. But you robbed us of 9 minutes of an opportunity to actually go for it.
Yeah, spot on. Killed the game. We got a red card for clearing a ball, and somehow, if this was against Fulham or Sheffield United, I would bet your house on this being overturned. I could give a fuck if this is overturned. Could care less. It should be. Obviously, it should be. We're on the same page. How on earth? This is worse than the Fulham decision. This is worse.
Oh, 100%.
Mike Dean.
It's not even close.
I could see that there was in the Fulham game where Suchet got sent off. I could see at least where he's coming from. Like, there's a question of, did he mean to do it or not? There's a question of that. In this one, there is not a chicken shit chance in hell that Fabian Balbuena means to catch Ben Chilwell, because he's kicking a ball. That's what you do in this game. It's football. You kick the ball. You are taught to put your laces through the ball.
Well, the funniest thing that this situation, well, not funny, but the situation involved here is it's not like he was making a tackle and kicking the ball. Balbuena was the offensive player, technically. He was the one striking the ball. You get what I'm saying? And then somehow he's the one sent off. I mean, it's just absolutely ridiculous. And VAR, and this is my other main issue with VAR, not just how bad it is, but we're talking about that they probably watched that before it got to our referee. How many times do you think they watched that in the booth?
Oh, at least 10.
At least 10. And then our guy watched it probably, what, another 5 to 10?
Yeah.
So you're telling me it was that close that you had to watch it 20 times to decide if it was dangerous or not? If it's dangerous, you're going to know. You know what I'm saying? If it's that dangerous that you deserve to be kicked out of the game, you will know after one or two looks. You'll be like, oh, shit, he got to go. If you're the same back to the Mike Dean bullshit, both of those decisions. Oh, my God.
Dude, who was the fourth official today, by the way?
I don't know. Who was it?
No, I'm saying Mike Dean, who was the fourth official today.
Oh, is that who it was? Oh, yeah. Brilliant. So point of the story is, if you have to watch it that many times, it is not serious foul play. If you have to draw to the offsides shit, if you have to draw it to the millimeter pixels and decide which frame it is, it's not offside. This is the problem with VAR, is it's so meticulous that it's ruining what is a clean and fair game. How about the Wilson decision this morning?
Oh, it disgusting.
I mean, it's as bad as
the Declan Rice one against Sheffield United, where Declan Rice has the ball headed against his arm 20 or 50 yards from goal, and it gets brought back for a handball because the defender headed the ball against his arm. It's as bad as that one.
Was that the same one, or is the Antonio one against Sheffield, or was that?
No, that's Southampton. That's another terrible one.
So, you know what I'm saying? So we're talking about all these terrible decisions, and to me, that's not what VAR has been for. I was a big proponent for it, you know? So were you, honestly. And what it was is to correct major wrong decisions, not these meticulous, nitpicky bullshit it's just ridiculous.
Anyone who has played a game at any level of football, soccer, whatever you want to call it, knows that when you go to kick a ball, you are not trying to endanger the opponent on the follow through. I mean, so they had to have thought, this had to be the thinking process behind it. So they had to have thought that he kicks the ball, and in the same motion as he's kicking the ball, he goes to kick Chilwell's calf. That's amazing talent. If you can clear the ball 50, 60 yards like Balbuena did and end up kicking the calf of your opponent and injuring him in the process, I give you all the props in the world. And that is
he's probably not even looking at Balbuena. He's probably not even looking at Chilwell.
That's exactly what they had to have thought. What else could it be? I mean, you think he intentionally endangered his opponent. That's what you're saying. That's ludicrous. And you're right. It will get overturned. I'm not arguing that. I'm not mad at you for saying that. But I'm saying, what fucking good does that do us now? You've screwed us already. You've screwed us out of a chance at tying up the game. Yes, with 10 men, you can score goals still. You, even as a referee, ruined the game. Even, you ruined
even
it.
Even if we didn't draw and we lost 1-0, played hard, played them tough, I could sit here and be like, yeah, okay, cool.
Perfectly pleasant.
But we were robbed of 9 more minutes to get an equalizer.
And by the way, how on earth is it 5 minutes of added time when a normal game is 4 minutes and that VAR review took at least 3 minutes? Yeah. I mean, where does 5 minutes come from? It should have been 7, 8, 9, I thought. And by the way, Sofal did the same fucking thing to Rudiger 10 minutes Two later.
Minutes, 5 minutes later, yeah.
He did the same thing. And it wasn't even looked at. What I mean, what's going on? I cannot believe. I mean, you guys can tell I'm passionate about this, obviously, right now. By the way, I'm just screaming into the mic. You can take us back to the Newcastle game from 2 years ago, the St. Maximin against Zabaleta game. We said we'd probably never do an instant reaction pod ever again because
I felt like we needed to.
That very reason, because we would just be screaming into the mic for 90 minutes. I mean, this is what the game's doing to me. I mean, what is going on?
What is going on? And what is going on?
There's three tiers here of fuckery. Ready? Tier number one, how bad the referees are in general. Tier two, how bad VAR is. And tier three, how bad the actual laws of the game have changed. For example, that Wilson handball this morning, Disgrace. Absolutely disgrace.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, by the letter of the law, correct. It's a handball. But then that means the rule is terrible.
Yeah, I mean, what happened to the days of you had to have the ball in or your arm in an unnatural position or have intent? And he was against his body.
It was tucked against his body.
What's he supposed to do?
He didn't even make any movement toward the ball. Like, no. First of all,
he didn't even know it was coming at him.
Right, but I'm pairing that. I wanted to transition. The reason I brought that up again is you have two different standards then on each side of the pitch. Because that, like, and this is more of an issue with the rule rather than the refereeing in this situation, is the rule is ridiculous. If that is a handball to disallow a goal, how come that against Azpilicueta today is not a penalty?
Yeah,
same. It's the same spot.
And I really haven't gotten to see many good replays of that. But
I mean, I wouldn't call either of those a handball.
No, I was fine with it not being. I would have been disgusted.
No penalty.
If that was,
I would have been okay. Yeah, I would be okay with no penalty today for us. But that Wilson goal should have stand. Neither of those were a handball.
Yeah,
I'm annoyed that the Wilson result was a handball disallowed goal, and then ours was not a penalty. It's two different standards on two sides of the pitch. It's ridiculous.
Did the Azpilicueta one again? I didn't get to see many replays of it because, like I said, we're recording right after the game. Did it hit him above the t-shirt line? Did it hit him in the shoulder? Like, but again,
I don't remember.
We don't know what a handball is, and I know I understand, and I'm talking about the handball decisions now. I understand what the goal of these rules were. They're trying to make it black and white. They don't want any subjectivity. They want it black and white. So either it hits your arm or it doesn't. And if it does, it's a penalty or whatever the phase of play is. It's no goal.
But you need subjectivity.
No, I mean, it's important.
That's the point of having a referee, is to be able to subjectively decide what is correct and what is wrong.
Yeah.
But the other problem is they have shit referees, so they have to make it black and white. For example, you should have subjectively saw today that Balbuena clearly did not mean to seriously injure that player.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
It's insane. But back to the handball thing, now you bring in this t-shirt line rule, and what happens when a guy's wearing a long sleeve kit?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what do you do? I mean, then so is the t-shirt line his hand so he can play it with anywhere on his arm? It's like, it's absolutely crazy, and it's making me really, really not enjoy watching these games because that ruined 90 minutes of a great game. That was a really exciting game. I know we didn't score, and we didn't play out of this world, but we were good. We hung with them for 90.
I thought we played them tough.
We deserved a draw out of that at least. I think Werner missed a couple of really good chances that probably could have made it 2 or 3, and then it would have been the same.
Fabianski played fantastic.
He had a good game, and it would have been a repeat of the other leg at Stamford Bridge where we outplayed them and lost 3-0. I mean, it would have been the exact same thing. But here we are again. Something has got to change. And like how fans protested the European Super League, I don't know what we can do as fans to try to get them. And they've got to know. I mean, the referees can't feel good about giving that. I can't think of what the referee's name today was.
Cunt.
Yeah, right. I can't. I should know his name, and I'm.
And NBC Sports is showing the replay of the Wilson goal now. It's unreal. So Wilson kicks the ball at the goalkeeper, like he missed the 1-on-1, comes back off the goalkeeper, not even like a meter from him, comes up, hits him in the arm, which is up against his stomach, and they rule it out. It's just crazy. It's crazy, man. It's crazy. We shouldn't be wasting our time talking about it. We should be talking about anything else. Or we should be doing a podcast in 2 days and being like, oh, okay, hey, do you want to do a pod? Sure. Instead, we're rushing a pod, angry as fuck, doing a reaction. Because it's just unbelievable. Unbelievable.
And we very well may have lost that game. I mean, we easily could have lost that game 1-0 and had that red card not been given against us. And
I would have been fine losing
that
game.
And we would have sit here and said, we're proud of the guys. I'm proud of the way they played. David Moyes set up pretty well because we played much like we did against Man City. We pressed them for 90 minutes. And then at times we let them have the ball. But, I mean, that's fine. But in the key areas of play, when it's back in their far end of the pitch, we were hounding them. We were pressing them. We won the ball back. I mean, we looked alive. We're missing a striker, obviously. We're missing Jared Bowen's not a striker, and I know he scored a couple of goals, but he is not a striker. And we have got to find a way to get Benrahma bedded into this team because I really truly believe. I know I'm a side Ben Rama lover, but the link up between Fornals and Lingard, I don't think is as good as Ben Rama and Lingard. And I think that Villa game where Ben Rama and Lingard were linking up so good, I want to see that. I don't know what Ben Rama has to do to get in this team. I know it's tough. We got those three electric forwards right now, but Ben Rama, with all these injuries, surely David Moyes has to be looking at him and giving him a chance at least, but clearly doesn't trust him enough. And that's probably where it comes from.
Maybe he's just not that good.
Dude, look at his highlights maybe from the championship.
You're looking at his highlights. Maybe he's just
from the championship. Go look at his stats.
He's had I don't have to. We've seen all season, and he's been in training, and he's had plenty of opportunities to get in this side. Lingard walked right into the side.
David Moyes wanted Lingard, and that might be the difference between Lingard and Ben Rama.
Well, then so be it.
Because the owners bought Ben Rama, and he didn't give the final clearance on it.
So, I mean, if we've had this whole season, it's now what?
April 24th. Buying. I am not buying that Ben Rama isn't good. I am not buying that.
If he was that good, either A, David Moyes is a dickhead for letting him sit on the bench, or B, he's not proven it in training. That's the truth. It's been what, 7 months of the season now, and he's still not starting.
I can buy that he doesn't trust Ben Rama and he gives the ball away too much. I can buy that. I'm not fucking having that he's not good enough. Uh-uh.
After 7 months, he hasn't worked his way into the side. No, maybe he's just not good enough.
I will die on this hill with you, and he will go to another Premier League team, and maybe he just doesn't suit us, or maybe he doesn't suit David Moyes. I can buy that, but you saying that he is not a good player, I am not fucking having it.
Maybe he's not. Who knows?
I know he's not. Go look. I wish I'm going to pull up Ben Rama's stats. I'm going to try to anyway.
Yeah, stats in the championship.
From the championship. But
yeah, but Bowen came from the championship and has been great.
Yeah,
and he worked his way into the side, and he's getting results. So,
he's a different player.
I'm not convinced. Well, it's still the same concept of going from the championship to the Premier League. I'm not convinced that if it's been, 8 months, 7 months, and he's still not into the side, no, something's got to give.
So, side Ben Rama played 39 starts in the championship. He had 17 goals and 8 assists. We haven't seen that yet, clearly. He's gotten four assists for West Ham, and he hasn't scored. But I'm not having it that he's not good. I will say if you said David Moyes doesn't trust him or he doesn't work hard enough or he gives the ball away too much, I'm on board with you there. I can see that. But I know factually he will go somewhere else and light it up.
But like giving the ball away and not playing well and not fitting the system would clearly mean he's not good enough for this side.
Yeah, I disagree. I think there's talent there. I think there's boatloads of talent there, and he just hasn't. He hasn't been given any chance to get a run of games in this starting in this team.
Well, it's probably because he hasn't earned it. I mean, if you have a player who's lighting it up, I mean, I'm not at the training ground. He might be great there, and David Moyes just don't want him. But you're telling me you think that he is so good that he's worked his way into the side.
Yeah, at least give him a shot. We have like five, six crucial guys out. Let's give him a shot. Give him a shot over Fornals for two games.
I mean, I'd be interested to see what he's got, but I haven't seen anything from him that has me convinced. Like, man, this guy's got to be in there. Like, he had that assist against Villa, like one of his first few games. But other than that, every time he's come on, he's been like just blasé.
And that's when you have 11 men behind the ball defending for their lives. I mean, how can he be expected to thrive on that? And with no striker to boot, no striker to play with. And he hasn't been given a chance. The one game we got to see him with Lingard.
Well, he's still not going to have a striker to play with anyway.
With Lingard. But I'm saying all these reasons that you're like, it sounds like you're ready to bin him off for nothing and sell him is what I'm getting from you. It sounds like you're ready to do. And I'm not there at all. Not even close, because he hasn't been given a fair crack of the whip. He hasn't been given a run of games. And we've gone completely off track. I did not anticipate going into a big side Ben Rama debate with you. I was expecting this to be all VAR. But he hasn't been given a fair run of games to even prove what he's got. He starts one or two, and then on the bench for 8 or 9, and then starts one or two, and then it's on the bench for 8 or 9. I mean, just give him a shot. What do we got to lose at this point? And we got a lot to lose, if I'm honest. That's probably a bad turn of phrase, but I would just like to see him be given a shot over Fornals, or if we play four at the back, over one of the defenders. all I'm saying. And you disagree clearly. And I think now would be.
I mean, good. I'm going to cheer for him. I mean, I hope he comes in and lights it up and proves me wrong. I'm not convinced. He has not convinced me. I've seen like one or two bright spots, but we've seen one or two bright spots from Lanzini. There's a reason Lanzini hasn't played all season.
We have seen one bright spot from Lanzini, and that was his goal against Spurs. He hasn't done anything at all whatsoever apart from that.
He was a great few seasons ago, and that's what you're doing for Ben Rama.
Ben Rama was one season ago, but yeah, sure. I mean, if that's the argument you want to go, was one season ago, and he was the best player in the championship.
Well, he's clearly not cutting it now.
Yeah, well, I think we can take a break here, and then we will be right back to kind of recap the game.
So I'll bring us back in here. Let's regroup and talk a bit about the game itself. Try to stay away from VAR for now. We might get back into it. Try to stay away from Ben Rama for now. We might get back into it. But talking about the actual game, were you happy with the setup that we started with?
I mean, I was okay with it. I understand the thinking behind going five at the back. It was weird seeing Fredericks at left back, but I understood you're not going to play him on the same side as Sofal, so where else are you going to put him? You need a little bit of pace in your team.
I thought he played well today. Yeah, I liked okay. what I saw from Fredericks. I thought he had a good game, considering it wasn't his favorite side. I was pleased with what I saw. There was a few times that he actually used his pace and pushed forward, and I really enjoyed watching that.
My biggest thing with him, it always has been and always will be, is his final product is not good enough, mm-hmm. and we saw that again today. It's just not good enough. I mean, he's got the ability to get past guys and run at people, and it will get you on the edge of your seat, and then once you get on the edge of your seat, he puts that cross in or that shot in, and it goes to absolutely no one. So
I'm glad you brought that up, though, because we were talking about off pod of what we were going to talk about next is the crosses to no one. Well, I think part of the problem we have right now is we're crossing it into Jared Bowen. You know what I'm saying? And I texted my buddy Clay, who's a Chelsea fan, and, you know, Fabianski a bunch of times when he was clearing the ball up, we were just lumping the ball up to Czech's notes, like 5'7" Jared Bowen. Dude's my height. He ain't gonna win anything in the air. So I got very frustrated with a lot of our crosses, or when Jared Bowen would cross it into Lingard, or I mean, there was a bunch of times that we just whipped in crosses to nobody, and that's what happens when you play without a striker. You're playing a winger at striker, and you got to play the ball on the ground.
Yeah.
So I think there was a lot of opportunities today that we just were used to lumping it to Antonio or trying to get Suchek further forward so we have some aerial height. Or that's why we were so successful in corners. I mean, today was the prime. I thought we were going to score from a corner today.
I did too.
I say one more thing. You know, we had four big guys in there that I thought anyone could have got their head on a corner if they were good service. Suchek, Ogbonna, Diop, and Balbuena. Surely I thought someone was going to get their head on one today.
Yep, and I thought the delivery from corners was pretty poor today as well. I mean, we played at least one or two of them short. And then a couple of other ones just went straight into Mendy's hands. I mean, there was maybe one or two decent ones, but if you get six chances and you spoil four of them with terrible delivery, then you're not going to do anything. And I thought the same thing. I thought I don't want to say the only way we were going to score, but I thought the most likely chance of us scoring today was going to be coming from one of those set pieces from just outside the area or a corner, because I thought Chelsea defensively were pretty good at closing down the channels and making us work for every bit of space that we had. Logically, that means...
I agree with you. Sorry to interrupt you. I didn't let you finish your thought. But I was going to say I agree. I thought one of the rare opportunities, I thought if we were to score, it would have had to come from a corner. Because, again, with the no-striker situation and Chelsea setting up with almost very similar five-in-the-back situation as we did, that they had Azpilicueta and whoever it was, Chilwell on the left side. Yeah. You know, they set out to sit back and wait for us to try and do pressure. So I thought that was the only way we were going to score. And this game showed it. Although it was somewhat exciting, the only goal we let off for one minute, and that was the difference. You know, Fabianski had a great game and kept us in it, but their goal came from Balbuena and Suchek not being on the same page, and the weakest dinkiest little pass just there's, trickled through.
Had no and business getting through there. I mean, that ball, and if Dawson was in there in place of Balbuena, I have every bit of faith that that ball never reaches its target in Werner. And, of course, fucking Werner, who doesn't score in 8 years, finally gets one, and it's against us, which is typical, typical, typical West Ham. And he showed his form this year because he had one of the easiest chances you'll ever see in the Premier League, and he puts it wide. And he had one other one, too, that he just scuffed and missed it. I mean, that guy, I actually think he's a good player. And, like, if you offered him to West Ham, obviously I would take him. But he's just had a torrid run of form playing in the Premier League this season. And it's just typical West Ham fashion that's the guy that scores against us. Typical.
I do want to say, though, I am pretty pleased at the end of the day. I know we got a little heated, though. But I at the end of the day, I am pretty pleased with what I saw today, minus the VAR.
We still have a chance.
And I am a firm believer. I really do believe this with my heart, that we pass Leicester by the end of the season. That is a big shout. But I firmly believe it. I think that looking at their fixtures and looking at ours, I'm not impressed with Leicester as a whole. I think that we can pass them, and I do think it's us, and this is ready. I can't believe I'm saying this, and we're going to cut this later. I'm going to sound like an idiot. I think it's us and Chelsea in the Champions League when we pass Leicester.
I hope you're right.
After today, and I know we played bad against Newcastle, but Newcastle just got a result against Liverpool, so something's going on there.
Well, we haven't even talked about the Newcastle game. I mean, but Newcastle didn't beat us. Newcastle were shit. We beat ourselves. We scored.
Exactly.
We basically scored two goals on ourselves.
Exactly. So the way that we're playing, I am a firm believer that we passed Leicester. And after today, there was not one team that I'm scared of the rest of the season.
I mean, our running is good. I mean, we have the best run in of any of the teams left. The problem is now we're 3 points back of Chelsea and what, six back of Leicester, seven.
I want to say that it is they're on 59, we're on 55, but they have a game in hand and they play Palace. So let's just say that they win, they're on 62, we're on 55.
Yeah, seven.
That's 7 points.
Yeah,
I still think we can do it. And at worst, I think that we can still finish seventh. At the absolute worst,
and that would
we
be
have ev-
that would be we have that would be a disap- we have a, that would be a disappointing finish in seventh if we miss out on Europe. I would be gutted.
Well, how would we miss out on Europe if we finish seventh?
And it's five and six get into Europe, and then seven if one of those, I think, is it the Champions League? Again, this is new territory for me, but I'm pretty sure five and six is Europa, and seven is only if one of the top four wins the Champions League and or Europa League?
I mean, I could be just chatting shit here, but 1 through 4, Champions League, 5, Europa League, 6 and 7 are Europa League if the top six are FA Cup and EFL Cup winners.
Sorry, what was the say the last thing you just said there?
1 through 4 is Champions League.
Yep.
5 is automatic Europa League. 6 and 7 are Europa League if the top six are the EFL Cup and FA Cup winners.
Gotcha. Okay. If you gave me the option of finishing seventh this season, getting into Europa League, I would probably take it. I just want Europe. I really, really want Europe. And if that's a scenario,
That's an absolute worst. We have 3 point cushion on Spurs. We have a 1 point cushion on Liverpool. I think Liverpool could pass us. But here's the thing: what I brought this up is because we still play Everton and have an easier run of fixtures because we play the likes of Brighton, we play Southampton, West Brom, Burnley. I mean, if we don't win at least 4 of the last 5, I'm sorry. I know that's crazy to say as a West Ham fan, but the way we've played this season, I think that we can win 4 of the last 5. And I think winning 4 of the last 5 gets us at least into Europe.
Yeah. If we win the next 5 out of 6 games, yeah, we'll be in the Champions League. I would almost bet money on that.
Yeah, and I think it's possible. I'm not completely impressed. Now, we still have to do the business. You know, like I said, we beat ourselves when we played Newcastle, so there's every chance that we could drop points. But the fixtures are kind to us, and the ball's in our court is what I've been saying to people. Is it's our opportunity to lose, in my opinion. It's not – we don't got to wait for other people, and we play tough games, and we got to hope somebody else drops points. No. We play pretty good fixtures for us to do the business ourselves.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, we would have to hope that points are dropped elsewhere by the likes of Leicester and Chelsea, because it's not in our hands anymore. I mean,
for Champions League. I'm talking about Europe in general.
Sorry. Oh, right. Okay. For sure. Yeah, I mean, I agree with that.
And fifth is an automatic group stage. That's what I'm hoping for, at least. My goal is that we finish five, because if we finish six or seven, I believe it's the playoff round, but I can't. Don't quote me on that, because I could be chatting shit and be wrong on that. Six and seven is the playoff round. But I know five is automatically a group stage for the Europa League.
Yeah, well, I think I learned top four recently. You go straight into the group stages now, too. That's new. For Champions League.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, that'd be cool if it was the same principle for the Europa League. Because I have no doubt if we have to play a qualifiers in the Europa League, we will lose. I would...
Astra goo goo.
Yeah, I mean, I would not surprise me in the slightest. But one thing I did want to talk about, I don't know if you have anything more to add about the game, because, I mean,
we
pretty much covered it. Yep. As far as back to the VAR discussion, how do we get rid of these decisions? What do we have to do as far as the offside ones and the crazy, what is it, violent conduct red cards that we've gotten this season? I mean, what do we got to do to get rid of these decisions? Do you have any ideas?
Yeah, I said it weeks ago, and I say it almost every pod. And I said it, by the way, I was a guest on, now I feel like an asshole, because I think it's called the Subs Bench now, but I've always known it as the Yellow Card Podcast this week, and I said the same thing. Get rid of the lines, and they need to adopt the NFL rule where there's three standards. And this should be for everything. This should not be just offsides. But in the Premier League, they're making calls either yes or no. Handball or not a handball. They're calling offside, not offside. Do three standards. It's either offside, not offside, or the play stands because I couldn't tell after watching it. Because drawing these pixels and megapixels, and is it the sleeve? When was the ball kicked? Who's drawing the lines? That shit's crazy. You should be able to look at something and decide if it's offside or not. If you can't see with the naked eye if something was offside or not after looking at it two or three times, then the play should stand. If you look at, you shouldn't have to look at that offside. I mean, that foul red card for Balbuena today five times, six times, 20 times. You should have been able to decide after three times, hey, it either A, is violent conduct, or B, we stay with what's on the field, nothing. That's as simple as it is. Instead, they're making everything black and white, where in the NFL, there's three standards. It's either it stands, it's overturned, or it's confirmed. And that's how it should be.
Yeah, I like that idea a lot. And I think for the offsides, for sure, that would help. Or the handball ones, for sure, that would help with that. My gut feeling, and I agree with you, if I had to redo the offside things, I would say, A, let's go from the feet and the feet only. None of these fingernails, none of this Bamford pointing where he wants the ball, none of that, because that's horrendous. That's disgusting and horrendous. Get rid of that. You go based off the feet and the feet alone and nothing else. B, I like getting rid of the lines, and if we could get a camera that was running up and down the lines, not acting as the fourth of, or as the linesman, but just get a camera that's following the last defender always. We have technology. I have no doubt that there's technology good enough to make that happen, or at least get pretty darn close to getting a real view down the line as to whether that guy was offside or not. And then my last thing I would say is let's, at whatever the PGMOL or IFAB or wherever, whoever has to hire, or the Premier League, whoever needs to hire, we need in the VAR booth, we need an ex-Premier League player in every single one of those VAR rooms to just give their opinion to the referees as to what's going on. Because these guys clearly have never played the game at any high level. They clearly haven't done it. They watch it week in, week out. But I don't think these guys know what it's like to be a player. Because if you played the game, like I said, you would know there's not a chance in hell that Balbuena meant to do that. And if you played the game, you knew that Thomas Suchek was just trying to gain position on Mitrovic and accidentally catches him in the face with an elbow. That's not violent conduct. It's not. Any Premier League player is going to tell you that. And I think you get them in the room and you pay them a handsome wage and lure them out of retirement. But in every VAR booth around the league in every game, let's get one ex-player in there just to give their opinions and views on it, because at least then it's in their ears and they have to listen to what he has to say. Because I think if you have that guy in that booth today, there's no way on earth that Balbuena is sent off. Not a chance.
The other thing about the naked eye thing I wanted to bring up, one last thing on that as well, is if you have to, this is my personal opinion, this has nothing to do with actually any data. There's no data to back up my opinion. There's no, it's the law, it's not the law bullshit. I'm just saying what I think. If you have to draw the lines that close on offside, you did not gain an advantage.
Yeah, right,
exactly. In my opinion. Now, unlike what you were just yelling at, I have never played at a professional level. I've only played at the amateur, and I've played poorly at
but
that.
But you still so, know.
But in my opinion, if you have to draw the lines that tight and it's this shoulder versus this kneecap, you didn't gain an advantage to rule back a goal. Now, if we're talking about there's like maybe a foot with the lines, sure, obviously. But if we're talking about, I mean, there were some decisions this season, Brawley, even one like a few days ago. We're talking about like centimeters.
Yeah.
We're talking about the lines are on top of each other.
Yeah.
You did not gain an advantage there. I'm sorry. It's ridiculous.
The ones in the West Ham world that I can think of, Ollie Watkins scoring against us for Villa, I thought that was criminal. It should have been a goal, and it was millimeters offside.
Of course.
I thought earlier, I think it was our second game of the season, or third or something. Maybe it was even last year, now that I'm thinking about it. But Raheem Sterling was like in a drubbing against of West Ham. He was like less than a millimeter offside, and I thought it was laughable.
Even if it goes against us. So
that's what I'm saying.
But like they didn't gain an advantage from being a millimeter offside. I'm sorry, they didn't. That's ridiculous.
I want fair, consistent decisions, and that is what VAR is lacking. I thought, and I put out a tweet earlier today. I said I can't believe how embarrassed I am to say that I wanted the VAR to come into the Premier League. I thought it was going to be a good tool to have, and I think
it is.
I think it still could be. But it's the people that are implementing these rules right now are just getting it so wrong. Like, it is – like so today I was listening to the Newcastle – I had to work a little bit today, so I was driving. I was listening to the game, that Newcastle-Liverpool game. And I was celebrating when Callum Wilson scored that goal against Liverpool because of how much it meant to West Ham. I was celebrating. And then he said – oh, and then the commentator – it was Tom Rennie, actually, friend of the pod who's been on the show.
Hey,
he said, oh my days, this might get ruled out for handball. Hold on a minute, everybody. That is what's so wrong with this game right now. We shouldn't be celebrating the goal after decisions. Like, why is the system working so incredibly hard to rule out goals? I mean, the best thing about football – is that feeling when you score a goal. The absolute best feeling. I didn't think that was going to change how I celebrated goals. It is now. I am seriously having to, let's wait for the decision here. And I know that's like the phrase, it's killing the game, the game's gone, that shit's overused. But it really is. I mean, that is what, it is destroying this game. It is sucking the life out of the game. It's sucking the life out of me because I'm so fed up with all of these decisions. Even when they go for West Ham, I'm tired of it. I'm done with it.
One of the things that the NFL, I know I keep bringing up the NFL because I don't mind the refereeing in the NFL. I know they get a lot of shtick, but I don't mind
that's
it.
That's any I refs mean. Anywhere, really.
Right. But here's the other thing about like celebrating, okay? When someone goes up for a touchdown in the end zone and it might be pass interference, they throw that yellow flag. So when you catch the, like for offensive pass interference or something, right? And they catch the ball and you got a touchdown, right? People don't cheer as hard because they saw that flag.
Yep.
Through,
yep.
Right?
Yep.
So you can already prepare yourself. In soccer, in football, it's completely different. The goal is so euphoric. It's so it happens, I want to say rarely, but there might be like two goals in a game. So you got 90 minutes and you celebrate that just – that moment of explosion in your body. I know it sounds really sexual, but, you know, there's no flag. There's no warning that, oh, it might come back. So you're right. You might be starting to ruin the game by altering celebrations. It's true. Now, it's just a shame. I don't really have a solution for that. I just think maybe a challenge system. But at the end of the day, you know, VAR is been bad, but I think it's been really hampered by the fact that just the casual refereeing in general has been bad. I mean, so now you have the blind operating the blind. You know what I'm saying? You got bad officials operating a bad tool. It's like if someone didn't know how to drive a tractor trailer or a lorry, as they would say, you know, and they're like, okay, I'm gonna just give this a go. You know, you have people who don't know what they're doing, bad referees operating a bad tool, and it just is a car crash.
I am, especially since interviewing Bobby Madley, I've taken an appreciation for referees. And I think their job is incredibly difficult. The linesman's job is even harder than the match official. I actually think Premier League officials aren't that bad. They have made some terrible decisions. They have made some, but if you gave them a rating throughout the game, they probably get the overwhelming, like if you're grading them on an A to an F on the number of decisions they get right versus wrong, like correct answers and wrong answers, they probably get a 96, 97 out of 100. But it's just crazy how those one, two, or three incorrect decisions, those are the ones that are end up going to be talked about. And the problem is, these guys aren't being helped enough, I think. I thought VAR was going to help them out tremendously. And clearly, well, like that decision today, that he should have never, I think it's Chris Kamara, I think is the referee's name, and I could be wrong, or Chris Kavanaugh, I think is his name.
Yeah.
Chris Kavanaugh should have been never, ever, ever been called over to look at that pitch side monitor. And once he's told to go over there, he's overturning the decision from his superiors or his colleagues at Stockley Park, because he just has the balls to say, no, I think you're wrong, and it's hard to do. When your colleagues are telling you, hey, go look at this thing, because the only reason they're telling you to go look at this is if they think that there's something seriously wrong. And another thing that needs to be done ASAP, we have got to hear what these referees are saying on the field.
Yeah.
Hot mic their asses up. I want to hear what they're saying. I know referees would hate that, and that might change the way they talk during a game, but good. I want it all business. I want to hear what you're saying. I don't want to – if you want to make them do a post-game press conference, that's fine by me. I don't care about that. I want to hear what they are discussing on the pitch, much like how the Australian, the A-League, does it.
Like in rugby as well.
In rugby, you hear the conversation. The XFL, you heard the conversation between the video replay judge and the referees. We should hear that. Why are they hiding that? Because maybe we would have some – at least an idea. We would have an idea of where they're coming from. Because right now, it just looks to me like he kicked the ball, and in the same motion, they think he meant to come down on Chilwell's calf. Because that's all. What else are we led to think? They just hide behind the anonymity of not having to say anything.
But the fact that it's unclear is what's detrimental to the referee. Think about how when you had Bobby Madley on, which I wish I could have been a part of, but imagine when you had Bobby Madley on and he actually described, and I'll never forget listening back to this, and this was perfect. He told you exactly what happened on that bad call he made.
Yeah.
That ruined your game and you were all upset. And he said to you, Brawley, this is the position I was in. This is what I saw. This is what my assistant referee saw, and this is how we came to that conclusion. You were like, oh,
yeah, well,
fuck, it was still the wrong decision, but I get why you said
that. I can see where you're coming from.
That.
Yes.
So for me, if the referee says, hey, you know, look, Balbuena, this is what happened. I saw him do this. I saw it at this angle. I looked at the replay, and it looked like he double-clutched or whatever. Although we disagree, at least we can have some sort of point of view.
Yes.
And maybe that could be some, what's the word, solace? Like when you, some clarity, some fulfillment. But I think the fact that it's just so, we have no idea what they were thinking.
I couldn't agree anymore. You're saying it better than I could have.
We have no idea what they were thinking. For all we know, and I don't actually believe these conspiracies, by the way. Like, I think that there's a tendency, but I wouldn't say that there's an active campaign, to be clear. But this would eliminate those conspiracies.
Yeah.
Or those campaign talks that the top six campaign, blah, 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 blah. Because it would be like, oh, the referee saw this. And it's like, oh, okay, that makes sense. It wouldn't be like, oh, they give Chelsea this or they give Liverpool that. Because that's what people think when they don't know.
I agree.
Y'all made me break out the high voice. It got me all wound up now.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm running out of time quickly here, so I want to get to the
couple of questions.
We put it out really late, so we didn't get very many. Well, we didn't even know we were doing a podcast until...
No, this was right a reaction the... pod, so there's a reason we didn't get none. By the way, Sheffield's up 1-0 on Brighton. Not that it matters, but just to let you know.
Gotcha. The first question here is from Jeremiah Carson, @_JeremiahC_, and he says... No way, that's a red card. But anyway, who do you think could have turned the tide more today, Rice or Antonio? So go ahead with this one.
I'm glad you let me start. I think Antonio changes the game today.
Amen.
I don't think Rice does.
Noble played good. Rice, again, we haven't talked about Noble.
Noble's had two good games in a row. He's making me look like a jackass. I mean,
four,
he's making me
really.
Look like a jackass. But guess what? I'm happy he is. I'm absolutely thrilled he is. Like I'm ecstatic. Like it's fantastic. So I think we haven't missed Rice as much because Noble has really picked it up and has really shown, like, yo, I still got it. And he's been incredible. So poo-poo on my face. I think we really miss the physicality and what Antonio brings to the table. We really do. I wish we even had, like, a Tammy Abraham. But, you know, Antonio, at the end of the day, he would have got on some balls from Fabianski. Or he would have maybe muscled through there a few times, or gave us an aerial threat when Bowen or Fornals or Lanzini or Benrahma would whip it across. We miss having a target. Even okay, I'm gonna get some stick here. Even Allaire, you know, I think he would have changed the game because there would have been a target up there. So to answer the question from Jeremiah. You know, as much as I love Rice and I think that he's extremely important to the side and I hope Noble keeps up the results, Antonio was the guy we missed today. Bad.
Yeah, I agree. I think we do desperately miss Declan Rice, don't get me wrong. I think he provides some oomph that Noble lacks, but Noble's a perfect backup guy to come in when he's down. And that's what I said at the beginning when we had the original debate. I think Noble defensively is really good going forward. Meh, he leaves a little to be desired. But we do miss Declan Rice because when he makes those bombing runs up the field and he can take four or five guys with him and it takes a guy off Lingard, a guy off Bowen, a guy off Fornals, I think we do miss that. But I have to agree 100% if you were giving me the option of who I would put in there today to change it, it would have definitely been Mikel Antonio because I can promise you that defenders, that Premier League defenders, one of their worst fears is seeing Mikel Antonio or Adama Traore or Alan Saint-Maximin running at them with pace and strength and the ability to say, hey, I don't give a shit that you're standing right there. I'm going to knock it by you. I'm going to run right past you or through you to go get it, and I'm going to score. And that's what we severely missed. That's what Jared Bowen can't do. Jared Bowen does have the ability to take guys on every now and again, but he doesn't do it on a regular basis like Antonio does. So I definitely think Antonio would have been the one that I would have had in there today.
I will give him credit, though. Noble did a few times where he did knock it forward and run past a few guys. I was like, okay.
Yeah, I mean, we've played him in that number 10 role a couple of times this year, which baffled me, which is still the strangest decision I've seen David Moyes do this year. And he does have the ability to play a little bit going forward, but not nearly as much as Declan Rice. The next one and the last one we have here is from Tony Hatcher. And he says, this one's on me. I was talking shit about Werner being a bust in a group chat, and then he scores. Horrendous VAR decision. And then he goes on to say, would the greedy six clubs getting a points deduction make qualifying for Champions League less satisfying? He says, it hurts that American owners are the problem. Do you mind if I start with this one?
Yeah, please, go ahead.
Well, thanks for jinxing us on Werner scoring. I appreciate that, Tony. But with the greedy that's six, Tony. Yeah, that the Tony Hatcher, not Tony
yeah,
Clark. Would I absolutely think the greedy six should be punished? with a heavy fine, which does that's not enough. If you just fine them, that's not enough punishment. You have to, A or B, deduct them points so they do not qualify for these European competitions. Mm-hmm. Or B, UEFA has to step in and say you are banned from participating in this competition next season. I think they absolutely deserve to be punished. You have to punish them. And his question now comes in, would it make qualifying for the Champions League a little less satisfying? Yes, I think it would. I would be thrilled and over the moon, but does that take away your there on your own merit a little bit? Yeah, it does. If we wouldn't have qualified without that points deduction, I do think, yes, it takes its luster off of it, and then that gives people a right to say, oh, this is an asterisk season, blah, blah, blah. You give all those other people more ammunition to hunt you down with. So I think I would much rather get there on our own accord and by merit, which is this whole argument is about. You should have to qualify on your own merit and with your own results. You should have to. That's the biggest problem with the Super League. But anyway, Tony, I'll let you answer this, and then we have to wrap it up because I've got to go.
Yeah, I'll keep it quick. Long story short, I don't think it takes away from our performances and what we've achieved this season, but I think finishing in a Champions League spot due to point deduction takes away from the lust of that finishing place. Yeah. I think what we've seen from West Ham this season was a breath of fresh air. It was really exciting and still plenty of season left to go. Really proud performances, really great from David Moyes. And it's weird to say that because I was on the Moyes fence guy. But long story short, yeah, I mean, it wouldn't be a disappointment to the results. It would be a disappointment to the reward, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
And I'll wrap it up on there because I do know you got to go. Take us out on the part that I always mess up.
Yep, you can follow us on Twitter at West Ham Way US Pod. You can follow me on Twitter at Brawley Darbin. And you can follow Tony on Twitter at Tony Clark Dupe. And if you guys please would go and leave us a 5-star rating and write us a nice review on iTunes, I'd greatly appreciate it. But that's all we got time for this week. Hopefully, who's our next game against?
Burnley.
And is that a Saturday or a Sunday game? Do we know? I don't have this. I'm pulling it up now.
Okay. Yep. The next game is against Burnley on Monday. May 3rd, and that's a Monday at 3:15 Eastern Time, USA.
Yep. So that gives
Monday games.
Yeah, I do too. I'm not a fan of them, but hopefully we're coming to you after that Monday game against Burnley with three Absolutely. Points in the bag and jumped back into a Champions League place. So signing off from St. Louis, I'm Brawley Darbin. Signing off from I almost said Pittsburgh.
Philly.
Philadelphia.
Oh, don't say Pittsburgh.
No, I know. I almost said Pittsburgh. Oh. Signing off from Philadelphia, Tony Clark. Anyways, guys, see you later.
All right.